What is good, everyone, and welcome back to the Nostalgia for Social podcast. My name is Taylor, aka Nostalgia. Joining me is K Likes Everything. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I have a fun outfit on. The sun is shining. I can't say that for most of the other United States, so I can't complain. But I hope that everyone stays safe during this snowstorm, and I hope that we get to hear from you all soon. But very excited to be here today.
Yes, the ice, it wasn't really a snowstorm, it was more of an ice storm for me. It didn't really affect me too much. It got like really cold. I look out my window right now, I can see like the ice and some of the stuff forming and stuff like that. Wasn't sure what was going to happen with as far as my power, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully we can get this recording and and with no issues. So Zoe is not with us today for this episode. No big deal on that. We'll keep moving. I really enjoyed last week's episode. Honestly, I keep listening back. It was very, very funny.
There's so many good ones.
As of the time I was recording, I think the clip will already be out, but I think like the clip that I made with Matt.
It's so good. It's 10 out of 10, and she's gonna piss herself. Like it's so funny. The editing, top tier.
Oh, thank you. When I was making it, hopefully it's out by the time this episode's out. But
yes,
I was making it, and they had and I put the little PNG of the McChicken. Yeah. And then I had the other one sneaking in.
The sneaky I was chicken.
Crying laughing. When I was keyframing, putting it in, and then when I finally press play and saw how it moved, I was crying laughing. It was so funny.
So good. But we haven't had a TK episode in a while.
Not in a while. Yeah, we have not. It's our first one of the year. I know. you and Zoe had the end of the year was y'all's episode together.
Yeah, I think
together.
So. Yeah.
It's another Taylor and Kayla episode. And today is gonna be not usually when we do TK episodes, it's like a something to do with romance, something super wholesome or whatever. We're going full dude bro today, and we're talking about One Piece arcs. We're talking about One Piece arcs. And today we're going to, rank them, do a little tier list, all of the One Piece arcs today. Just to see where we're at. Personally, as far as my journey with One Piece is concerned, I am in the middle of Whole Cake Island. I already know what happens in Wano because the internet is going to internet. So I know exactly what happens in Wano anyways.
Yep.
I haven't been spoiled on Egghead or Elbath yet, which is cool. Those are the only two arcs I don't really know too much about. So when we talk about ranking them, I'm just going to kind of let you take the wheels on that one.
That's fine.
That should be fine. But every other arc outside of that is free game for both of us to yell at each other.
Yes. As all of our listeners know, One Piece is one of all of our favorite animes. So, but I've never taken the time to actually rank what are my favorites. I do have a favorite. And it could be recency bias, but it's also that I don't think I cried more in any other arc. And so that's why it's definitely going to be up there for me. But I'm very excited to go over this. And if you don't mind, could I read off our ranking list?
You can. Yes, you can.
Okay, very fun. Okay, so me and Taylor wrote these together. So if you laugh, please thank us in the comments. So at the bottom of the list, we have Buster Call End It All. We don't need this. We could be using, what's it called? One Pace. Just skip it. It's not needed. Put it at the bottom. Second to last, we have Usopp Drop the Ball with this one. Then we have Law Full Neutral for our boy Law, who is a very neutral boy in general, I feel. Then we have Goo D Arc. Will of D. Goo D Arc. Off D Screen. In second place here, we have Flame Fruit, because that tier is fire. And then at the tippy top, we have Oda Was Cooking with this one. And then we'll just be going in order from the way that it's here at the bottom, and we'll see how it goes. So first one on this list is Alabasta with my main Pookie, one of my main Pookies, Crocodile.
I'll let you lead with this one. What you got?
So Alabasta is good, is where we meet Vivi. I think that we learn a lot about Luffy's capabilities with his, you know, gum fruit in this arc, because this is the first time that he uses Gear 1. And obviously, that's pretty cool. I do love all of their outfits in this arc. I love, like, the desert fits that they have on. I would probably put this between a Law full neutral or a Goody arc.
Yeah.
What do you feel?
I would also agree on that one. I like the overall story. Meeting Vivi's cool. Crocodile is definitely one of my more favorite antagonists when it comes to One Piece in general. I just think his devil fruit powers are really cool.
Yeah.
I could be wrong. I think that's when you really start to see, like, just how diverse the devil fruit powers could actually be. We kind of start to really get into the weeds of that. Obviously, like, you know, we get the really funny ones with early on with, like, Black Cat, Kuro, whatever his name is. And we get Buggy and, like, all that kind of stuff. But once you get to Crocodile, you really start to get a little bit into the weeds of some really powerful.
You're getting power scaling in this arc for sure. Yeah.
You really start to get those. So I'd put this one in Goody arc.
Goody arc. I'm happy with that. Goody arc is good. Okay. The next one on our list is Drum Island. As you all know, this is where we meet Chopper. And we get his backstory with his scientist dad. Or Dr. Dad? Dr. Dad. Doctor / scientist. Man, really, besides the sad backstory and Luffy basically making Luffy helping out with the explosions looking like cherry blossom trees on Chopper's Island, there's not too much I remember. There's not a lot in this arc that I'm like, oh, I'd go back and watch that arc again.
Yeah, honestly, and even with that, it's like, this would be, personally, I feel like this would be in Usopp drop the ball tier, but I think meeting Chopper, another fan favorite character, and then also understanding Chopper's backstory and how sad it was, and really, like, that whole moment between him and Luffy, whatever, is very important to, like, the overall themes of One Piece, especially early on.
Right.
So it would be Usopp drop the ball tier, but I think with Chopper's backstory and the introduction of him, I think
it saves it.
It could slide into lawful neutral.
Okay.
If we're being honest.
I'm happy with that. I think it's a good one. Now, I gotta tell you something. I barely remember this arc. Jaya, what arc is it? It's a tiny one. Teeny tiny arc. It feels like filler for sure. At least from what I can barely remember, I'm like, what even happened
here? If I don't remember one, I'm just gonna look it up.
Google that.
It's set after the Straw Hats deliver Vivi to Alabasta and encounter a mysterious pirate ship falling from the sky. The arc follows the Straw Hats as they explore the sunken ship, discover a map to a sky island, and visit the pirate filled island of Jaya. In Jaya, they encounter Bellamy. Oh, they made Bellamy in his arc.
Oh, okay, but it's a build-up for Skypiea.
Yeah, and they meet. This is when you first meet Blackbeard.
Dang. Okay. Well, that is a good one. Arc is like,
You know. And then, like, also, like, you meet a rookie Blackbeard. This is where you get the whole, like, this is so good I could die, or this is so bad I could die. You get that moment, which is fine.
But yeah,
it doesn't really. Honestly,
I don't do nothing for me.
Usopp dropped the ball with this arc. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it could have been better. Sorry. All right.
Yeah, I don't remember this arc. What was this one?
Long Ring, Long Land. And I'm telling you right now, Buster Call.
Buster Call.
Buster Call that. Kill Foxy today. Kill Foxy today. And also, I have a question for you. Because also in this arc is where Luffy puts on an afro.
Oh, yeah.
And fights like a boxer. I don't know what boxer he's imitating. It makes me uncomfortable.
You know, what's funny is I think me and Zoe had this conversation in a different episode. I think if Zoe listens to this episode, I think he'll also agree with me. I can't remember where we landed
about it.
Honestly, truthfully, like, I definitely was very, like, meh about it. And I definitely was just like, I was kind of very indifferent. I didn't really like it too much just because there was something that was said in that episode that, like, it wasn't like racist, but it wasn't racist, like,
adjacent,
but it wasn't like, I can't really remember. I can't put my finger on it, but it just wasn't great. I just think, go ahead.
I just hate Foxy. He is so annoying. I know that out there somewhere in the world, he's somebody's favorite, but his little he's not the worst villain, but every single time I see him, I mean, my brother gets hives. He can't stand Foxy. I have learned to like Foxy more from how annoyed my brother gets, and I think it's funny. But overall, Buster Call it. Boom.
I just, looking at the picture of Luffy now with this afro, it's so fucking funny. I just can't.
I cannot.
There's just something, like, inherently just kind of wrong about it. That I kind of just like, you know what? I don't want to think about it anymore.
Right. I'm going to put that away and I'm not going to think about it anymore. For sure. Yeah,
but Foxy is definitely the worst part of this arc. I think.
Absolutely.
What's so funny is when I was looking up, I typed in Long Ring, Long Land, and people go, one of the biggest search bar things was, is this arc filler?
Well, you know what else is in this arc? There's this, like, giant, because it's a bunch of games, right? Yep. And there's this giant match between Foxy's people and the Straw Hats. And really, like, they just can't lock in. And it's Zoro and Sanji spending the entire time being the worst. And I know that, like, earlier episodes of One Piece, it was silly, goofy time. But I feel like there's a way to be silly, goofy without me wanting to rip my skin.
I think it's one of those things where I'm fully aware that not every arc in a romance story or like an adventure story is going to be a hit. Like, you're gonna have to have, like, because when does Long Ring happen? What arc was before it? Because it was a big arc before that one.
There was, you know, a big arc, and then you get a break.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes. Is this after Skypiea? I think it's after Skypiea.
I think it might be. Hold on.
Yeah, because in Skypiea, we don't have... Do we have Chopper in Skypiea?
Yeah, no. We do have... Wait. I think. We should. But yeah, the Skypiea arc directly precedes Long Ring, Long Land. So, like, you get off of an arc like Skypiea, which, and even then, people talk, like, early on, people were talking about, like, post the reveals you get in Wano, people were talking about how nothing really happened to Skypiea anyways.
Right.
Then
right.
you get Long Ring, Long Land, and people are like, oh my God, this is a drag. But, like, you know, Skypiea is a pretty big, significant arc, and then you have to have some sort of, like, transitional arc to get you to the next big one. Yeah. Just so happens that it's Long Ring, Long Land, and that one kind of sucks. So
I think Skypiea is such a setup because I know we're not done with, what is his name? Eneru? The one who looks Eminem. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I know we're not done with him.
Like Eminem?
He does look like Eminem.
I didn't even put that together. That's pretty funny.
Look at him and then go, that's Eminem with long earlobes. 100%. So I know we're getting a lot of buildup, but it is hard in the beginning with that. But don't worry, guys. That is what One Piece is for. Now hear me out.
Okay. Here's
Water 7. That's a flame fruit. I love Water 7. I love Big Tom. I love Frankie. Water 7 is also where we get the story, the ending story of the Going Merry, which is a lot for me. So this is Flame Fruit for sure.
Yeah.
Maybe even Oda Cooking. Except for that mermaid lady who haunts my dreams.
Here's what's funny is when I talk about One Piece arcs, I always talk about some of my favorites. And I think I might be revealing my hand already with this, but we're here. It's whatever.
Yeah.
The three arc run of Water 7, Enies Lobby into I think those two arcs combined. That run.
Yeah.
Where it's Water 7, Enies Lobby, and then into, it's not Marine Forge right after that, isn't it? Or is it the one before? But that three arc run, there's a three arc run, and Enies Lobby, it's Water 7, Enies Lobby. It is fire. Oda could not have been cooking at a higher level.
The gas is fully up on the stove. He's there getting it.
No, legit. 100%. Whenever I talk about Water 7, I always talk about Enies Lobby together. Because I think those arcs, they flow into each other really well.
They do.
So it's always, when people always ask me, like, oh, Taylor, what's your favorite arc? It's always Water 7 / Enies Lobby.
And you know what? It's really good. I love that. And you know what else? Enies Lobbies is right there. So what are we doing?
Putting them in flame? Water 7 can be flame because it's more buildup, if anything.
And Enies Lobby's
Oda was cooking with this one. Oh my gosh.
He was, because let me tell you something. There is no scene more reused on the internet than Robin doing the "I want to live." And they all save her, and it's so beautiful. The worst thing that came out of that arc, the only thing that's evil that's out of that arc, is that nasty zipper mouth. Chapapa! I hate that villain. He's so grotesque to me. I hate him. The one in the the CP9.
Yes. I hate him. Introduction of CP9. Yes, he's sucks.
But the introduction of CP9, phenomenal. I love the one that does the yo yo, and he does the little, his long hair choking people out. Great villain.
The giraffe man.
The giraffe man. You know, we keep seeing him in the future. Great. I agree with you. I think Oda was cooking with that.
Yeah, Oda was cooking with this one. And then also, too, you have the shoot down that flag scene. Fire.
So good.
You have Luffy going to Gear 2?
Yeah.
Versus Lucci?
I think it's
Gear 2 or Gear 3. I think it's Gear 2.
I think it might even be... Hold on. Gear 1 is speed. Gear 2 is getting... is it when he's... I know that he shrinks because of how much power he uses, right? Is that with Lucci?
Am I mixing things up? So basically what Gear 2 significantly boosts speed, strength, and metabolism. But I think... Gear 1 was I think he could... I can't remember exactly what Gear 1 does. But Gear 2, I know, was mostly, speed. It was mostly just, hardening his muscles to, make him a lot faster. Contracting and then expanding so, he can move faster.
Yeah, because Gear 4 is, I think, when he does the Konga gun. He gets, really... He sounds like he's, bouncing on a dodgeball.
Or Bounce Man, is
Gear 4. Yeah, Bounder Man. Yeah, Bounder Man. And then... There's a other part of that one that has the snake thing that's along with that one. And then obviously Gear 5. Okay, I like where we're at here. Now, post Enies Lobby. I'm trying to think. This is the come down from them. This is when all the threats start happening.
Yes.
Of that something is going on with Ace.
Yes.
Yes.
Now... Not that much really happens in this arc.
No.
So we could slide this one into lawful neutral because it's nothing fine. Really happens.
Yeah.
Hold on.
You're going to make sure?
Yeah, I'll make sure because I can't. because I'm trying to make sure I know what's happening. I think you're right, though. It's like, yeah, after Straw Hat Pirates rest at Water 7, after escaping his lobby, they're visited by a group of Marines that includes familiar face to Luffy, while Franky promises to build a new ship. In the meantime, Shanks and Whitebeard discuss the actions of Ace and Blackbeard, whose fateful duel on Bonnaroo Island will inevitably serve as a trigger for a world-shaking war. So this is where, like, you really start to see Marine Ford start to take shape.
Right.
Like, this is, like, this run of arcs that Oda goes on from Water 7 into that.
Yeah.
Oh my god, he was cooking.
So, I would say...
Nothing really happens.
I would say it's neutral. I think it's a lawful neutral.
That okay. one would be another really happens in that
It's a build-up. It's a build-up. All right. I'm going to get a lot of smack for this. I love Thriller Bark. I know a lot of people don't, but I love Brooke. I think that Brooke's backstory is one of the saddest that has ever existed. Imagine with me, if you will, everybody you've ever loved dying in front of you while you are singing one last sea shanty together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you think, ah, I soon too will be put to rest. And no, your soul has to go searching for your body, but it's taken so long that now you no longer have a body. You are just a bag of bones and cannot die, we assume, or at least it takes a lot to do it.
Okay.
And you finally find friendship. The ending of Thriller Bark, and you learn all about Laboon. This to me, I know that people will disagree, but to me, this is a flame fruit. You also see the zombie version of the ghost that gives Zoro his sword that connects us to Wano, and that man is from the One Piece pre-One Piece.
Yeah.
Like, that's where the movie that Oda had come out with. Anyway, it's real good, and people will beg to differ, but I love a zombie, kooky, campy time that also makes me a little sad. Yes, do I hate that shallot-looking SOB? Yes.
I'm talking about not Magellan. Is that Magellan? No.
He looks like a giant shallot. He's a warlord. Villain? What's his freaking name? No, I think Magellan is the scientist that.
Oh, no. Gecko Moria.
Gecko Moria. I hate that man.
Sucks.
Clown foot looking butt. I don't like him. And I also hate Magellan because what he did to Shindiri. But.
Oh, Magellan's Impel Down.
Impel Down. Who is the little vampire looking henchman? What's his name?
I don't. Well, okay. So. I'm just talking. I don't know. I think is you think of Perona? Because I hate Perona. She's annoying.
Wrong. I love Perona. Wrongo.
So annoying.
I love her. Hold on. She's great.
She's annoying.
She saves Zoro's life.
Fair.
I love her. I love her. I think that she's great. She's a weirdo. She's for all the goth girlies. I love her. No, I hate the guy that turned that actress into a zombie, and she always throws Dr. plates. Dr.
Hogback?
Dr. Hogback. I hate him. And you know that his story is based off a real story.
Really?
So Dr. Hogback is based off of a real-life human being that was obsessed with a human woman, and when she died, he dug up her grave, and he didn't try to revive her, but he mummified her so she would always look the same, and he kept her in the house. She was married to another man. Yes. Based off a real life story. Just taken to the next level. For real. Bad. So I don't know where you'd put this, but I'm going to say flame fruit. And if you say lawful neutral, then it's a good D-arc.
You know what? Because of the lore implications,
Yes.
We can make something shake here. I can
put win! A win for our boys!
I can put in a Goody arc. I can put in a Goody arc. Yay. It's really Brooke's backstory and the lore implications of Wano gives it Goody arc. Because I really would have put everybody it somewhere else and you'd have mad about it.
Where were you going to put it before I explained how good it was?
I mean, genuinely, like, I don't think anything, in my memory is correct, I don't think anything significant really happens this arc. I don't like Gecko Moria. I think he's a really just piss poor villain.
Yeah.
I don't think anything super significant like happens in terms of like the pacing of the arc. I think it's kind of boring in some aspects. So that's where I was gonna put it in lawful neutral.
Okay. Well, at least you didn't, you know, put it lower. I was able to at least finagle my way to good D arc, but I'm happy with where we're at. All right, now we're at Sabo D. I can never say that word. Archipelago?
Archipelago?
Archipelago.
Pelagio? I don't know.
Lego my ego. But yeah, Sabo D. Where we do see how horrible the celestial dragons are for the first time. We had heard of them, but we never dealt with them personally. I also believe this is where Luffy knocks the block off of that, the main one that's trying to buy the mermaid girl.
Yes.
Forgot her name. But we also get this like weird side story of these. No, that's after. That's the return. Mm-hmm. So we're fine. So Sabo D is good.
Subway is good because like it's mostly Celestial just like Dragon a chain Celestial Dragon lore. It kind of like kicks off like a chain reaction, like with Luffy punching the shit out of that Celestial Dragon.
And that drawing, that art sequence is delicious.
Yes.
Thick, like a piece of steak.
Yes. You know? And then you also get the introduction of my favorite character, Trafalgar Law. You start to like Luffy and Zoro are like announced as like part of the 11 supernovas. Like they're starting to kind of get some notoriety across the world or whatever. And not much really happens this arc either. This is mostly just like a lore dump for like the Celestial Dragons and to kind of get you to understand like just how strong people in Luffy's generation of pirates
have become.
Because you meet Kid, you meet Law, you meet I think you meet like what's his name, Ripper, and some of the other folks in there too.
You the also old meet
mobster guy.
Yeah, you meet one of Gold D. Roger's crew members from before. What's his name? He has the striped beard. Like a goatee looking thing. What's his name? Oh, it's gonna kill me that I don't remember his name.
Let's see if I can find it. His name in here.
He has a hot wife with short black hair, and she like smokes.
It's not Bonnie. What is her name?
No. You do see Bonnie in this arc, though.
Mm-hmm.
You do meet her for the first time here.
It's gonna come to me later. I know it is.
It will. I put this at a good D arc.
Yeah, I think it's a solid arc. I think it just mostly exposition, just lore dump stuff.
Yeah,
nothing super crazy. You get introduced to new characters. New characters are gonna be very much like mainstays towards the back end of the story. So I put it in a D arc.
Now, Romance Dawn. There's a lot of backstory between Luffy and my red-haired Shanks. You learn that he lost his arm. Doodly doo.
Mm-hmm.
I care about it.
Look.
I care about it, but I ain't gonna die for it. I'm not fighting a sea monster for it.
The only thing that I think that would put Romance Dawn in a higher tier is just because of the fact that it's the first chapter of One Piece.
It's the birth. It's a good arc.
Yeah, I could argue either lawful neutral or good arc.
Oh, it could be neutral because this is, you know, you see that Luffy eats the, well, this is where we learn, you know, he eats the fruit. People who eat the fruit can't swim.
Yep.
You know, this is his backstory. I could honestly, people probably kill us, but I would agree with you that it could be neutral.
I think it's mostly lawful neutral.
Yeah. Lawful neutral. No, go ahead.
What am I going to say?
People are going to kill us.
Yeah. I mean, it kicks the story off, but nothing.
It gets you to watch.
Really happens. Other than, like, the normal shonen trope of, like, exactly. Young boy gets powers. Like,
young boy really gets powered. About... powers. He cries with his mentor.
Yeah.
That is it. Yeah.
I don't think it deserves to be in the higher arc. It's only 7 chapters.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
It's fine. It's teeny. Teeny tiny.
We're good.
Okay. Amazon Lily. This is, to me, the best part about this is Boa Hancock because she's hilarious.
Yes.
She's hilarious and she's also Gorgina. I love her powers.
Yes.
Other than that. I think we dropped the ball. We dropped, as we would say, you know, like how Luffy shows his balls in this, like he calls it his treasure in this arc. We dropped that treasure, you know? I don't need to watch it again.
Yeah, that's really about it. There's not much really happens.
I'm not saying Buster call it, but I am saying, you know.
Also, like, I don't know. There's some in some stories you have situations where, you know, main character gets separated from the group and it's still a good arc.
Yeah.
This is just Luffy being on an arc with a bunch of women that want to execute men and just kind of trying to get off the island. It's really not much that really happens.
I will say, because we have a few that have others in the arc, right? Or in their field. So I would say Amazon Lily is better than Jaya.
Yes.
And I would say that this order, I think, is... I would maybe do this.
Yeah.
Drum Island, that. Romance Dawn, post Enies Lobby. Good D arc. I'm going to put Sabo D in the front. Alabasta in the middle, Thriller Bark at the end.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel?
I'm good with that. I think that, you know, like Drum Island, as far as the lawful neutral, Drum Island is definitely more, there's more stuff happening. You get there's some backstory.
Yeah.
You could, I think the Drum Island and Romance Dawn could be interchangeable. I just think just because of the fact that Romance Dawn is the beginning of the story.
I can do that.
So we can leave it at that, and we're good there. We're good there.
Okay.
We're fine there.
Okay, cool. All right, next. Impel Down. This is where we see Buggy at his sluttiest. I love his ponytail. I love that man's ponytail. It's so good. You also get, I think, one of the best villains, because he almost knocked Luffy the hell out. Mm-hmm. The poison guy, the one with the
I think that's Magellan. I could be wrong.
I think that's Magellan. Maybe you are, but I'm gonna believe you. I think he's great. No. Also, the fact that he has IBS, I feel seen. Me personally, I see you, IBS queen. You know,
yes.
Magellan, I think, is a great villain. You get to see Von Clay again. Whom I love. You get to see more about what's going on in the underground revolution world because of, oh my God, it'll come to me. Because of Dragon's Lackeys.
Mm-hmm.
What is the main drag queen's name?
Oh.
The one who has the hormone fruit that saves Luffy by taking years off his life, basically.
I cannot remember her.
It starts with an I. Ivankov. Got it.
Ivankov.
Yeah, you get to meet Ivankov.
We talk about Ivankov all the time.
I know. It's always when you need to remember a name that it goes away, and it's the worst. I think Impel Down was cooking. I think it's a flame fruit. I don't think it's Oda was cooking with this one. I do think it's a flame fruit.
I think it's a flame. I'll go flame. Yeah. I just think it's one of those. It's, and again, it's that like Water 7 Eddie's lobby, post Eddie's lobby.
There was a run.
Impel down Marineford.
Yeah.
Crazy run. Crazy run.
Marineford. I don't even have to explain this one.
Yeah, it's at the top. It's Oda was cooking with that one.
Oda was hunched over, spine on fire, hand ablaze, just he was like, how can I hurt everyone deeply, madly, truly? I don't think anyone's ever recovered from Marineford. And we never will.
I think
it's the only arc that makes me not like Garp. Because Garp, 1 Gorbunglian% had the power to save his blood grandson.
Yeah.
And did it because he chose being a Marine over being a grandpa.
And right. I think it's yeah, it's one of those. We had this conversation too. Me and Zoe, I think we're just talking about. I think he asked me about Garp, and it's like Garp to me, and this is in my worldview and my understanding of my interpretation of things, and how art imitates life. Right, Garp reminds me of a black police officer to me. Garp is the equivalent of a black police officer to me. Where it's like you are, you know what I'm saying? You try to, you know, integrate yourself into this very, in my eyes, in some other, you know, black people's lives, a corrupt entity. Yeah. And that doesn't really, you know, have the best interest of minorities at heart. And then you try to step in and say, oh, I'm doing good. But at the same time, you're protecting your comrades that do bad. And you're not really making much of a difference.
Correct.
In that community where you that said you're in. You were.
Correct. It's the constitution of it, you know, or not the the institution itself is built.
Yeah, it's just off. Like the intent versus principle. It's like
you may
get into this thing intending to be like trying to help the community or trying to make things, you know what I'm saying, good from the inside out. But it's like, brother, you're just going to be in that same cycle every time. It's the
system. Yeah.
Yeah, and so reverting it back to Garp, like this is Marineford is where people start, because people are starting to talk about Garp now in the later stages of One Piece and his role in One Piece in the late game now, and people always refer back to this moment in Marineford where he could have had the chance to save Ace or do something
and decided not, and he allows one of his generals to hold him back because we see later in Egghead how powerful Garp is.
That's what I'm saying.
And we're like, so you're telling me you could have ended it all. And you did nothing. And that's why I love that she wasn't a pirate. She was a thief that raised Luffy and Ace and Sabo, where Garp had like dropped him off with her and was like, hey, you owe me so I don't arrest you. Raise my kids. When he sees her again, she beats him up and tells him, how could you let this happen? Mm-hmm. So, and that would be me, 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially because she knows what he's capable of. So, I don't want to spoil things for people if they haven't gotten to Egghead yet. But there's something that Garp says to Kobe that is really beautiful because of his relationship with Kobe. But also so painful when you think about Ace. Ooh! I'm gonna watch all over again. Damn! So good. all right. Post-war. This is Jinbei time, waking Luffy the hell up and going,
yep.
You have things to do.
You gotta figure it out, brother.
Get to it. Yep.
I mean...
But besides that...
This could either be lawful neutral or a good arc. I can't remember what arc before that you meet Whitebeard. Rayleigh.
Rayleigh. That's at Sabaody. That's what I'm saying with the beard. Yes, okay. That's in Sabaody. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
So you meet Rayleigh at Sabaody. Yeah. And then post-war is when he starts the training to learn hockey and other stuff like that.
Yes.
In post-war. So this is kind of like world-building implications, lore implications, power system implications.
I think and plus it's it sets neutral. Up the
time skip. So you could do... Yeah, I could put a lot on neutral. Not much really happens besides just learning about the power system.
I think it's a lawful neutral. I feel like Law even wrote this chapter because he's explaining to everybody how everything works, which is very law. It's good. You do cry a little in this arc because a lot of it is also memories of Ace. But it is just a build-up arc, which is good.
Wait, do they not meet Kuma in this arc?
No, Kuma is returned to Sabaody.
Okay.
And that's why I'm putting that at a good D arc. okay, so let me backtrack. So is the next one we have to organize is Return to Sabaody. Now, here's my thing. In Return to Sabaody, that's when everybody and their mother is getting there. This is like, it's time. We got to go pick up our ship. We're going to Fishman Island. We're continuing our journey, our search. We've all grown. We've all gotten better. Robin turned white. Hate that. but other than that, there's a lot of big things happening. But while everyone has been out there in the world training and everyone has kind of forgotten what the Straw Hat Crew looks like, there is this off-brand Straw Hat Crew that has been bullying people in Sabaody. And I feel like that makes it lose a point, but when you see Kuma is the start to so many things, and I love him. I don't know.
I put a Goody arc because you get like.
I think you meet Sabaody before when they all train.
When do you meet Kuma?
Do they? What arc is it? Am I mixing things up? Because as soon as they return to Sabaody, they go to Fishman, which means they don't pop away from each other.
He officially meets Kuma in Thriller Bark.
Well, that's the first time because he beats the hell out of Zoro. But when does he spare Luffy's life? Because that's one of the last times he literally says in that moment that he's basically not going to be himself the next time they see each other. He's going to be gone. There's not much humanity left in Kuma.
Yeah. I think it's this in Sabaody. So it says
okay.
After the Marine Ford War.
I want to move Goody arc up to Flame Fruit.
After the Marine Ford arc, Kuma as a cyborg separates the Straw Hats by sending them to different islands, saving Luffy from the Marines by sending him to Amazon Lily.
Yes,
so Luffy goes to Amazon Lily after Sabaody. So we need to move that up.
I'm moving that up. Yep, that's going up to Flame Fruit because
I forgot,
Kuma is so important. And you get the, like, it's so good. Okay, so we were mixing things up because there's two Sabaodies. And this Sabaody, this is where he beats up the fake Straw Hat crew. The fake Straw Hat crew, but also the Celestial Dragon. Because Cammy, which is the name of the... Cammy is the name of the mermaid. She helps them get down to Fishman Island, if I'm correct.
Okay.
Or she shows them how to get there. Check that for me.
Let me make sure I look up. For diehard One Piece fans listening to this episode, it has been...
It blurs, okay?
A garbungly amount of chapters. You go different places. It's very hard to remember all of this one sitting.
I'm only one girl, okay? Now listen, if Andre would hear, we would be saying, Zo would know. But he's not here. So
he's not here.
We can't... You can't clock me for this. I'm just a girl.
I think this is all they do. It says 2 years after the Summit War of Marineford, the Straw Hat Pirates, who were previously separated by Kuma, reunite on Sabaody Archipelago, where they must deal with the fake Straw Hat crew and the pacifistas before resuming their journey.
So then in the original Sabo D, he does beat them up. Okay, so that is good. So in original Sabo D, that is where he punches a celestial dragon, which is why Kuma's there in the first place, because they will kill him. If they hadn't disappeared, they would have been dead. Okay, so where are we putting Return to Sabo D? Because that is basically setting them up to go down. I would say lawful neutral.
I don't know, man.
But you do meet everybody.
Everybody came back, and it's cool. Everybody's reunited with each other.
Good DR. Everybody's
showing.
I'm putting in a good DR.
You can put it there, but I disagree.
Oh, you think it's lawful neutral? You think it's drop the ball?
Kind of. But
damn!
Because
you know what?
Okay, here's my thing.
Okay.
Just let me just...
Yes,
The reason why I think Return to Sabo D is in Usopp drop the ball tier is because of the main central conflict surrounding... Everybody's coming back and you get to see everybody in new forms,
and that's magical. Yeah,
it loses the point because they didn't give Robin any more melanin, which is fucked up.
It's true.
And then the fake Straw Hat Pirates are just a very much like a nothing burger antagonist to me. Like, they serve no purpose.
You're right. So it doesn't push it enough for them to all be together again. I agree with you, because really them being together again is quickly taken over by Fishman Island. Now.
Yeah.
That's our next one. If Andre were here, he would put this at Buster Call. However, for sure. However, I think Fishman Island shows... So we obviously get a lot of what's going on in the world with the racism against the fishmen and the humans, right?
With Arlong Park,
and
too, yeah.
With Arlong Park. And we're like, but in the beginning, because of what Arlong Park set you up to be like, fishmen suck, kind of. Because this is what they're like, and we have to protect Nami, blah, 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 blah. And then you realize that, like most things in history, history is written by the winners. Mm-hmm. So... yes, they were large and in charge on her island, but when you go down to Fishman Island, you get to see how they're living, how they've been affected, how they've secluded themselves and separated themselves from the human world because of all the racism, and how much they worked hard on that one time to try to get up there. And it was one of their own people who were like, no, kill them all, fight to the death. Even though his backstory is kind of sad too, because he was watching all of his siblings and friends die at the hands of humans. I think this is a really good arc. The worst thing from this arc is that god-awful giant baby man. The giant baby man and the guy who's obsessed with Shirahoshi, who is basically a... not basically, who is a pedophile.
Yes.
And other than that, I think this arc is beautiful. It's also the arc where Jinbei and Luffy have to share blood. And now Luffy's like, you're my like blood brother. And it's this like beautiful moment of like, we're all alive. So we are all the same.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is a really good arc for me. I love this arc.
It's because of like, you know, the more nuanced takes that come out of this arc are good. Yes. I can live with putting it in Goody arc. Zoe would not agree with either of us.
He wouldn't, but he's not here.
The only reasons why I wouldn't put it any higher at all is because this is Sanji's worst arc.
And you know what? That's not his fault. Because Oda didn't write him that week. That's the anime's fault.
He's still not locking in the manga. They make it worse in the anime.
But it's worse in the show. But yes, I agree with you. This is a great arc. I'm going to put it in good D arc.
Yeah.
Would you put it above Thriller Bark?
No.
So this is good.
I don't think so. I think it's good there. Okay. It's, yeah, Sonny's worst arc, Princess Shirahoshi is very annoying. I'm sorry. I can't. She's very annoying.
I love Shirahoshi.
She cries at everything. And you know what, you know how I get about, you know, like crying in with certain characters in anime, because like obviously they're children, they don't have great emotional ranges, so they do cry. It is a thing, right? I'm not really, like when people talk about like Deku and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I just don't know. I feel like Shirahoshi's emotional imbalances just killed the flow of the story. I'm like, girl,
walk in. I will say I do want to take a quick look and redo that. Sabori should go above Water 7. I put Sabori in the front.
I think because of the like what because happens of what to Sabori.
Yeah,
like Kuma showing up, and then the Zoro taking all of Luffy's pain, and I could get with that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Next, we have Punk Hazard.
Bro, Buster Call. Buster Call.
Thank you so much. Get it out of here. Get it out of here. Golly.
Boring as fuck.
So boring. The only thing we get out of that is we meet the characters that get us to Wano. That is
or Dressrosa, actually. Dressrosa. It's like, or no, not Dressrosa.
No.
Because No.
No, you meet Kinosuke. You meet him because he's attached to the creature that's running around in Punk Hazard.
You're correct. Because I'm saying, I thought that's literally like, you really get in law. Really?
Yeah.
It's just
but it's not enough to save it.
Yeah, no. Punk Hazard is a buster. Call blow it up. Boring. It's boring.
Boo boo dookie. I can't. I cannot. The only thing that eats there is what's his face, his outfit. I do love the outfit that the villain wears in that main. The one who laughs like the chino. What's his name?
Oh yeah, I forgot his name.
Well, I like his outfit. That's about it.
Yes. And then terrible villain, by the way.
Yeah. But, like, actually god-awful.
Like he's, yeah.
Evil man. Like, would be working for ICE.
Well.
I don't know if you have to cut that or not. Put that in there. He sucks, bro. Bad man. Awful man. I will be doing his outfit, though, for a future cosplay, but he is awful. Okay. Dressrosa. Now. Hold on! I know!
Kayla?
I know.
Kayla.
I know you're going to hate it.
Kayla.
But the fight between Doflamingo and Luffy is so good. I know it's long.
I agree with you. No, I'm... Oh. I thought you were gonna put it lower than Oda was doing with this one.
Okay, no, no, no.
We're good. Yeah, no, we're good.
But I will say that Dressrosa is. You do have to crawl on your hands and knees to get through it.
Oh, it
because
is a slog.
There are many arcs in that one, so for that reason, I'd put it at a good D arc.
Ooh, not Flame Flame.
I can fight for Flame Flame. I could be convinced. But all the little fairy people and my poor girl, Rebecca, being half naked when she's like 12. Oh, but you do meet Sabo again. All right, I'll put it at Flame Flame. So then, I convinced myself. Okay,
let's break this down, right? You get, like, Dressrosa, I think the epitome of, okay. Dressrosa
is
the quintessential One Piece arc. And what I mean by that is it has really, really, really high highs.
Yes.
And just god awful.
God awful lows. Man, we twinned. Wow. Like we twinned. Yeah. Because, horrible. Yeah,
Rebecca being 12 and dressed 12. Like that is a low. The Bad. Little toy arc and Usopp dropping the fucking ball is a low. Like, and yet,
that's the beginning of God Usopp.
It is, which is just...
Which is nuts.
I guess, man. And then you have, do you meet the blind Marine in that one? Fujitora? Is that where you meet Fujitora? In Dressrosa?
I want to say yes, and he's phenomenal.
I love him as a Marine. He's really good.
His line of saying that he wished that he still could see so that he could see Luffy because he believed that he had a kind smile and kind eyes. Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Oh, take my own eyes. Take them, Fujitora, so that you can see. I want you to see.
Yes, yes. You meet him in Dressrosa.
Yeah, yeah. So there's so many good things.
Really cool. You also meet, so obviously the Doflamingo is arguably the best One Piece villain.
People do not recognize how terrifying he is. Like, I feel like people forget all the time that, like, the buildup of him basically using his puppetry to have the king and all of his men kill people. And that man is having to watch himself kill the people he loved. There's no villain like Doflamingo. No one does it like him. Everybody else has humanity. Doflamingo does not. Because, like, Crocodile, you can see there's a little something there. He's just greedy. He just wants money.
Right.
It's just, you know, what other villains are there? I mean, Blackbeard just wants power, and he is horrible. But I think evil-wise...
It's Doflamingo.
That man hates.
Yeah. And his backstory is crazy, too, because, like, I always, you know, people, you know, they're, in order to make good villains, you know, sometimes, like, people have to make a backstory where
there's pain.
The ends justify the means and that kind of whole thing. And there's, like, you know, he's somewhat redeemable. No, bro, Doflamingo just is fucking evil. And that's evil. Just his character arc. He's just an evil person.
Yep.
He's, like, he was born evil. His family was actually a good family, even though they were celestial dragons. He was like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to be like a normie. Kill them hoes. Yeah, absolutely not. Like, I always, so my friend Jolie doesn't like Corazon. We fight about it all the time because I think that Corazon is perfect.
I've mentioned
this before, but it is literally the beginning of, like, a villain story and a hero story where it's like, depending on your circumstances, who do you choose to be?
Mm-hmm.
And Corazon was like, this horrible thing happened. I was wronged, but I have to help people not get into the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Doflamingo was like, I deserve everything. What happened to me was wrong, and everyone's going to die for it, and everyone's going to suffer.
Yep.
Corazon's perfect. He's a perfect man.
Yeah, it's just, I could say for Dressrosa, because of how high the highs are and just how low the lows are, you can kind of put it in that flame category.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, Zo.
I wouldn't go Buster Call. I would say, oops, I've dropped the ball on this one. I'm not going to lie.
I think it could have been so much cooler. And
it's a nothing burger of an arc. It's one of those transitionary arcs, just like Long Ring, Long Land, where it's like it has to get you to the next arc.
It's got to get you there. The fact that they're on the elephant is really cool.
Yeah.
The animal people are really cool. I love learning about the cat and dog man.
Yes.
Because they are directly connected to Wano.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really cool. But
you just gotta figure out a way to get the whole cake. That's really where
and here we are, and Whole Cake Island is flame fruit or Oda cooked with this one.
I love
Whole Cake Island. You agree with me?
I'll give you Oda cooked with this one.
And I'm gonna tell you why. For all the people that would disagree. For us Sanji stans, who have been waiting for him to really show up and show out, this is the one. This is where you get to see so many layers of things happening at once. What? This is Oda being like, I could be whimsical, fantastical, marvelous, very Disney level, like, type of arc, painful, so many fun people come in this one. I love the pirate who can store all the people in his body. And basically he is like a ship. I think he's a really fun pirate. I think all of Big Mom's kids are really cool designs. Obviously I'm biased because I love Katakuri. That's like everything to me. But Sanji and Luffy's bond in this arc and Big Mom's backstory of how she goes crazy and eats people. Shock after shock, great moment after great moment. I was never bored for 1 minute in this arc, and it's a long one, and I was never bored.
Yeah, it's one of those, again, as somebody that is not the biggest fan of Sanji, I could enjoy his character arc in this as it went, and you get more backstory on him with the Venice Smoke family, and then you get like the conflict of like Sanji having to get married and leaving the crew, and Luffy wanting to keep people in, and then you get the whole thing with Zoro where he's like, Zoro's input on the situation. That was a cool moment there. I like Big Mom as an antagonist. I think love that her. As far as early One Piece, or not, I think it's like midway One Piece, as far as like the midway, I think that I would argue that the fight between Katakuri and Luffy is better than the one between him and Doflamingo.
Honestly,
that's just my personal opinion.
There's a lot of growth in the like mid fight with Katakuri and Luffy. Like Luffy actually has to really trust his body to do really cool things.
Like Luffy, is obviously against Doflamingo, like Luffy had the threat, like he could have lost that fight at any point in time.
Yeah.
For this Katakuri fight, where it's just like he's fighting against somebody that is roughly similar in terms of fighting style to him,
right? Yes,
with like the mochi mochi, fruit. It's like it's a mochi mochi.
Yeah,
fruit,
it's a mochi mochi fruit.
And so like he has the similar properties and fighting style as Luffy,
right?
So now Luffy has to get more creative with his abilities, and you finally get Gear 4,
power. And you get some locking in for his, oh my God, what's that power that you have?
Hockey.
Like the hockey. He gets better hockey in this fight.
Yes.
And every day I pray Usopp finally gets the sight hockey.
He's going to get every it like day. The very end, and it's going to be like the most, Oda's is going to like throw it in there Usopp can like save some people or save somebody's life just because he just suddenly turned lock in with awesome.
I'm gonna yell and scream and no one's gonna be able to listen to me again. Okay, Orange Town.
I don't remember this arc at all.
I don't remember this arc. At all.
Hold on.
I have no idea what happened here.
What even is this arc?
Is this about
this is the second story in One Piece. That's why.
is this the backstory of Gold D. Roger dying?
No. As Luffy and Zoro aimlessly sail across the sea, they end up in Orange Town, an island under siege by clown-themed pirate Buggy and his crew. There, Luffy meets a pirate targeting burglar. This is where he meets Nami.
Oh.
And so, I guess this is where he tried to get Nami to be his navigator, and he fights Buggy for the first time. You're going to Buster Call that one? Oh, I thought you were going to put it in Buster Call. Usopp dropped the ball. I think Usopp dropped the ball.
It's a whole lot of squat. But it's fine. Yeah, he dropped the ball. But it's the very beginning. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay. The Reverie. There's a lot of talking in this one.
Hold on.
It's a lot of yapping.
I don't even remember.
But you do see the people attack Shirahoshi. You see a celestial dragon attack her. This is what they were building up to for all like the kings and queens and princesses and leaders.
Yes.
And this is also where Vivi's dad dies. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You can make the decision on this one because I wouldn't be able to. You could put that. Yeah. Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
Syrup Village. This is where we meet Usopp,
right? And then we meet the Kuro Pirates. This is like one of the first, very first, like true arcs of the story.
Yeah.
I don't really have too much bad to say about this arc. I think it's solid. Like it's very whimsical and like you get like it's very early 2000s cartoons in its approach.
Yeah.
So I'd put it in good D arc.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I hated Usopp in the beginning, but we do get the Going Merry, and that is really the beginning of their adventures. And Usopp is caretaker to the soul of that ship.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that, I let him have it.
Yeah. I just Usopp will always sit on this fence for me where like he as a character or Oda doesn't know if Usopp wants to be important or not. Like I don't understand.
I agree. But I will tell you something right now though. If I'm looking at the other ones that are in Good D arc, I don't think it matches with how good the other ones are.
No.
And I think it needs to go to neutral, lawful neutral.
Think so?
Yeah.
You can make that call. That's on you.
I think I'm going to do that. Because I don't feel like Syrup Village matches up with Fishman Island, Thriller Bark, or Alabasta.
That's fine.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good. No. It's fine. I think that's a good place for it anyways.
Okay. Wano?
Oda's cooking. Not much really else to say.
Oh, it's hard to put it in front. I'm putting it in front of Whole Cake.
Yeah, but
I don't know if I
can put it in front of Marineford.
I can't put it in front of Marineford, but Wano, this is the one that I was mentioning earlier. This is the one that I was like, I immediately, when I think about Oda cooking, Wano is, it gave me so much. I absolutely loved Wano. There are a lot of lulls and dull moments. And there is some repetition with characters. They're just like, set me free from these shackles, fast forward, skip. But that happens very few times in comparison to the entire arc that is so beautifully written and gives you so much backstory and so much of the world to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And also lets you know that like the story's almost over because this is like the precipice of what we've been waiting for as One Piece fans. Nuts. He was thinking about Wano from day one. And that's crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for that.
Yeah, put it there. You
perfect.
Put it there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Baratie. This one's cute.
It's a cute arc.
It's a cute arc.
I couldn't put it in good arc because of what else is in there.
Correct. I think it can go with lawful neutral.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's good. And
good
for the listeners, like lawful neutral means it's good. Good D arc is like, that's good, good. You know,
yeah, that's
like
good. It's a good arc.
That's the one that we're going to be like, I'm going back. I'm watching that again.
Yes.
I think Arlong Park is a good D arc.
Yes, it is.
It is. And I would actually put it in the front.
I would too. I think this is as far as the overall arc is great, obviously. I think like it has, you know, the things with these arcs too is that the ones in from Goody arc up have mm-hmm. like very iconic moments in them.
Yes.
I think Arlong Park has one of those moments like Nami stabbing her tattoo and turning to Luffy asking for help. I think that's a big moment in the fandom of One Piece. Like when people talk about the hype moments and like the best moments that they really think about and reminisce on, I think Arlong Park and Nami's
situation
is one of those. Yeah,
absolutely. This is where Luffy really locks in for the first time. And he's like, this is my crew. These are my people. And no matter who I'm fighting up against, I'm going to go to war for you, you know? And, Nami's backstory is so incredibly sad, and beautiful. And her relationship with Luffy always comes back to this moment.
Yep.
Because no matter what in the future, she's like, you're insane, you're dumb, but I trust you. And it is because of this, and it has never faltered. Right. Usopp has faltered. Sanji has faltered. Zoro has not, but that's because he's a one-man man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Nami, that's her boy. And I don't like when people ship Nami and Luffy together because their friendship is pure and beautiful and they are just friends.
Yeah.
That's that. Okay. Logue Town.
Where do you want to go with this one?
Brother, I can't remember.
You don't remember Logue Town?
No. What happened in this? I know that's dragon.
How do you spell that? Logue Town?
L-O-G-U-E Town.
Okay. Buggy, your man. Smoker, your man.
Oh, I do. This is where Smoker meets that little, like he bumps into a little girl and everyone's freaked out. And then he's like, here, go buy yourself some more. That was my bad. Okay. Smoker is Oda trying to gently say, out of every 100 cops, there's a good cop. He's giving you that. He's going, they're not all bad, but there's not many. Because Smoker will constantly, for the greater good, let the pirates do what they have to do, even though his sole mission is to bring Luffy to justice. That yes. man wants to see Luffy behind bars more than anybody, but he knows Luffy's power, and he knows at the end of the day that Luffy's going to get it done. So he lets yep. Luffy go a lot. Smoker's a good man.
Yeah, I think also, too, you meet Dragon for the first time.
You do, you one. Do. You it's a neutral.
Smoker is like the introduction to the first Logia type, Devil Fruit, where like
he's better than that.
The property that, like the Warrior Devil Fruit is like the property of your body or whatever.
Yeah,
not much really else happens other than that. No. There's the dog, I think, the dog part is in Logue Town. I could be wrong about that, with the little mini dog.
Do we also get some of Zoro's backstory in Logue Town? Because he meets
Smoker's swords.
And he's the apprentice. The apprentice to Smoker is that girl, and we get to hear a little bit about why he doesn't want to fight girls. He fights girls equally because of the woman that he was in love with as a child. So. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that at lawful and neutral. It's important to meet some of these people.
Yes.
Reverse Mountain. This is where we meet Laboon for the first time. You meet that other guy.
It's lawful.
It's neutral. All right.
It's all right. I think Reverse Mountain happens, I think, after Baratie. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, I think we have. I think we have Sanji by that time.
I think so. But either way, I think it's lawful neutral, but on the back end of lawful neutral. I don't know if they're going to drop the ball thing because Laboon is like, has lore.
Laboon is important. Yeah, he has lore implications, which is why I don't want to put him that he dropped the ball, because he was building up to Laboon being important for Thriller Bark, but there's not much else. Like, oh, okay, they went up the waterfall. Da, da, da.
Yeah, that's it.
I think I do have to put it and drop the ball.
Okay.
There could have been more. I'm so sorry. Let Laboon get his own arc. Okay, Whiskey Peak.
Whiskey Peak. I don't remember this one that much either.
I feel like this is the one where it has one of Andre's favorite opening theme songs. That is like the ska opener.
Oh, I think I know you're talking about.
I feel this is like the shopping arc. Hangout, neutral time. I might be totally wrong.
Yeah, with a log pose in hand, the Straw Hat Pirates are directed towards Whiskey Peak, a town that welcomes pirates with open arms and treats them like celebrities. However, the town folk have a dark secret and even deeper mystery awaits.
Yeah.
It's not much really that
there's happens. Not much going on.
I mean, you meet like the Miss Wednesday and all those people. I mean,
I don't know what you think about
this. I think you meet Robin in this arc. I could be wrong about that.
You might.
Like,
but she's more important in Alabasta.
Fair. Yeah, she's Miss All. I mean, you meet Miss All Sunday, who is Robin. You meet her in this arc.
Yeah.
So, but not much really.
Not really
going in that one.
Not really going. Just chilling. Little Garden. I love Little Garden. I love meeting the two giants because this is setting us up all the way in the future for Elbaf. And Elbaf will be Usopp's arc. I pray, please, God, let it be so. I do like the giants in this arc. I think it's good. I think it's a fun time. I think it's neutral. I think it's better than Syrup Village.
For sure. I'll give you that.
I don't remember that much about this arc, so I'm kind of going with you, with what you got.
It's just a fun little goofy little time. It sets up the fighting.
Yep.
Okay. And about like giant lore, because you also get giant lore that gets tied in at Whole Cake because of Big Mom and
the giants, and like also like the years. What are those called? Like the Forgotten Years or whatever they called? Time period before One Piece actually started.
Yes, exactly. So I think it's fun. I think people would enjoy going back to it. It's a good time. Skypiea. I think Skypiea is really important. I think it's a good arc.
Yeah, here's the funny thing about Skypiea is, I think I said this to somebody a while back, and you know how I am with Bleach or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I think that Skypiea and the Lost Agent or Fullbringer arc are pretty much the same in terms of people's perceptions of that arc.
Okay.
Skypiea, although people may say, oh, you could skip it, it's not a very important arc, it's like kind of a nothing burger, nothing really happens. However, when you get to like the ending part of Wano, and even in certain parts of Fishman Island, certain things that are mentioned were mentioned in Skypiea that you need to remember for that time. And they come to fruition later.
Okay.
Same thing with like the Fullbring arc in Bleach, where a lot of the lore implications and also like Ichigo's backstory as a person, you know what I'm saying? People tend to try to skip that arc and they don't think it's very important. But a lot of stuff happens in that arc for Ichigo's character arc that are important for Thousand Year Blood War. So I think it's kind of this a similar. I treat those arcs the same, where like I think that watching them and not knowing the context of later arcs, you might be inclined to not like it.
But it is important, but
considering
and good.
How important some of the lore bits are to later arcs, you have to hold this arc in a very high regard.
I would be willing to put this arc in Flame Flame Fruit. But it's not, I don't think it's lower than good the arc. But it's not above Flame Flame Fruit.
No, it's not above Flame Flame. I mean, your first pick with good the arc, I'll put it there. I think it's a good arc.
Where should we put it in terms of the other ones? And for those who aren't watching us online, right now, good the arc from first to last is Arlong Park, Alabasta, Thriller Bark, Fishman Island, Skypiea.
I'd put it in front of Thriller Bark, honestly.
Okay. I'd be fine.
And that
with
is
that.
Strictly just because, yeah, I think it's a solid arc, and then there are just like foreshadowing, that you need to like remember, Like a lot of people when like Gear 5 happened with Wano, right?
Yeah.
People were, when that happened and those chapters were coming out, people were like, "Oh wait, I remember this thing from Skypiea," and then all
back
of a sudden
Skypiea.
People started putting more respect on Skypiea.
Right, it just needed time.
It just needed time to cook.
Yeah.
It only needed time to kind of get there.
Yeah. I will say, this list is pretty good.
I don't think this is a bad list. I don't think people can probably be mad about a couple of arcs, but...
Yeah. I'm sure. But one thing is for certain, one thing for sure, our Buster calls are correct.
On point.
On
people
point.
Might be mad about the Punk Hazard one. I don't think people are going to disagree about Long Ring, Long Land.
No, I don't even think people are going to fight Punk Hazard because there's just not enough to push it to be better. It ain't got the sauce.
It's so boring.
And let me tell you something. Before One Piece existed, I was watching all these word for word, moment for moment. And I wanted to get out of town so bad. I felt so bad for those kids. The kids help that arc move along, but it's also because the villain is so god-awful. So, yeah, I think this is great. And for those who are listening and watching, as a whole, One Piece is still one of the best animes, I believe, to have ever existed. I know that we're being very critical of putting everything where it is, but you have to also remember that some of the longest arcs are in the top two. So, the little ones, are just tiny building things that are important, but you don't got to rewatch them again. I will rewatch the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just one of those things where the Usopp drop the ball ones are just, most of those are just transition arcs.
Yes. Yeah. Like
arcs to get you to where you actually want to go.
That's really what that is. All of these are just kind of like, it was good. But this could have been looped in somewhere else. It didn't have to be its own arc. We could have made it 1-2 episodes max.
Yeah.
So
just
Yeah.
I like this arc tier list. I think it's good.
I do too. I think that Andre would be proud. He will fight us. He will fight us on Dressrosa, I'm sure, when he listens back to this. But I think we stated enough points that show why it needs to belong to Flame Fruit. And it's also hilarious because that's where Sabo gets the Flame Fruit again. So it's meant to be there.
Yeah. He might be mad at us about Fishman Island too. He might 100%. Want to put that one in Buster Call.
Yeah. But I will say this is, thank you for letting me do this. Cause I thought it'd be a fun little thing to do today we're missing one of our people, but a hoot and a holler.
Yeah. And then, next week we can kind of schedule what we want to do for that. I'm thinking, I wish you guys would have seen, I know we're running way over on time, but I wish you guys would have seen All You Need Is Kill, because that movie was so good. I really liked it. It was very enjoyable.
AMC, I'm looking right at the camera. AMC, why did you have no showings in my AMC theaters? And you know what's funny? Because I visit Orlando so often, I have some Orlando theater saved, and they had it. They had All You Need Is Kill, but I didn't have any in my local theaters except for like one time at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday. And I'm like, how am I going to go see that? So.
That's dumb.
Open. But.
Yeah.
This is very fun. Do you have any fun things coming up?
Well, I mean, other than like in real life stuff, like basketball season's kind of ending or whatever. The thing that I mentioned, I think a couple episodes back on like what I'm working on. I'm getting there in terms of like not completing it, but like having a good amount of stuff done with it to where I can kind of get it out there and see
into the world.
People think about it. It's been something that I've been working on since. It's been a couple years since I've worked on. So I'm started working on it, but I really started like getting into the weeds of it early last year. Okay. So I'm excited to kind of like let you guys know about that. But yeah. Is that Samuel in the background right here?
Yeah, Sam just got home.
Well, I don't really have anything else. You got anything or no?
No, I've just been posting more on my K Likes Everything TikTok and Instagram, getting back into the swing of things for 2026. And what I will say is I will be trying to do more lives. Lives just scare me because they are live, but I want to give that a try and do some fun things with you guys. So look forward to that. It'll be a good time. So that's it for me.
All right, cool. Well, that's been all we have for today. I've been Taylor, aka Nostalgia. K Likes Everything. See you guys next time. Peace.
Bye.